Very welcome to an episode of Skillionaire, the podcast that shows your unique personalities who already know how to scale, who did already scale, and show you how to scale. And on this episode, I wanted to welcome Mr. Jim, the only investmenter mentor.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
Till now, amazing. Depends on the questions.
Yeah, we're going to have a good question. So, Jim, we know each other already from our background in Germany. We are both Germans. So, but today we have the conversation in English just out of the respect for our audience. So thank you for...
you will hear the dialect. No worries.
thank you for having this fun with me here. So I actually, I'm very astonished at the way that you craft your whole entrepreneurship and to craft your whole journey around your business. Do you want to give us a little bit of a background? Because you started basically very, very young to get yourself involved with entrepreneurship, isn't it?
A bit.
How come?
My granddad was in construction. My dad was like a developer in Germany. Mm-hmm. I started in sales in Germany because I didn't want to spend the money of my parents. That is like the origin story.
Yeah.
Set up first company with 18 just for sales. Did like 4.5 years there. And then moved to Dubai. Very grateful that I can be here today.
Yes, yeah. But Jim, I wanted to actually ask you, you are scaling on a very different level in actually wealth. And you help people to scale their wealth and to keep their wealth. How are you doing this? And what is your doing in that sphere at this moment?
Good question. I read a lot of books, I guess, in the past. My biggest idol there is every time Jeff Bezos, like again and again and again, mm-hmm. for his philosophy in terms of clients and people who are investing with him. Mm-hmm. Because he says, like, if my clients are fine, my investors are fine. If my investors are fine, I am fine.
Mm-hmm.
So same for me personally. Counts for every company you want to scale, you want to build, you want to have.
Mm-hmm.
So if the client at the end is super happy with what you are doing,
yeah.
he will give you more clients. He will buy again. He will do whatever you want from him. And also happier clients make happier employees.
Mm.
A typical German call center of Vodafone is only called when there is an issue.
Mm.
If you give your employees happy customers, happy investors whatsoever, and they call and they sometimes tell them, thank you, you are appreciated. It's good that you are on Earth. I guess the whole company has like a positive
spiral up.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. That's a very unique approach. Actually, I can feel this so much that a lot of companies like to have actually the combination to find a good scale of their employees and the happiness is about the employees and also the clients. There's a correlation. So you have a good approach on that. Your background is, or your business that you are doing actually now in this stage of being in Dubai and that you are scaling already is about real estate. Is that right?
Yeah.
So the situation, I mean, there's a massive market on real estate, isn't it? But I have never seen somebody like you and investmentor who's scaling real estates. I mean, of course, you can buy more real estates, but you have a very big structure that I wanted to dive deeper in the ongoing interview. But first, I wanted to know, what is actually the mindset somebody needs to have around scaling? Scaling your business, scaling the wealth, and you as a wealth scaler, maybe you can give us a little bit of an input in that.
And I think there are far more intelligent people than me personally outside there, far more entrepreneurial advanced people. For example, our sheikh of this wonderful city once said, why not? Same Mohammed Alaba, like the chairman and founder of Imar Noon, like the Noon, for everybody who doesn't know it, it's like the Amazon of Dubai, basically, or of the Emirates. Imar is like the biggest developer. He has the same mentality. He says, like, why not?
Mm-hmm.
For me personally, I'm now third generation in real estate.
Mm-hmm.
I never had to basically like worry about money. I'm very grateful for my childhood. I'm very grateful for everything God gave to me, my parents gave to me, my family gave to me. But with 18, I was like, I don't want to spend the money of my family. I want to build like an own empire, not because my family needs it, but like it's fun to do it. And I think we as human beings are on this world to solve problems,
mm-hmm.
to help other people. If we cannot solve problems, we will die very fast, or we will get drug addicts or depression or whatever it is. You stop solving problems and then you will get the problem and you have mm-hmm. a big problem like in your head already. Mm-hmm. So I guess the mindset is more like, why not? What should I do instead? Mm. Go to every beach club in Dubai. There's like 80 of it. So after 2.5 months, I have to get a new hobby.
Yeah.
And then what do I do? To build a company? That's really fun.
Yeah, that's a very strong mindset. I mean, in terms of scaling, I find a lot of people, they are not able to receive, although they have a strategy, but they are not receiving, able to receive because they cannot think of what they could be able to receive, even if they have it in their strategy. Their own containers, let's say, in abundance of getting actually what is the result of scaling a company, it's not in their mindset. So what you think, is there any of these structured hesitations been ever in your environment, in your own mindset, that you thought of, okay, I am maybe I'm too scared of scaling at this stage, how I'm gonna do it, and how did you deal with it if you had it yourself? Maybe you can introduce it to our
I guess listeners. Mark Zuckerberg was the youngest billionaire back in the days, mm-hmm. right? The youngest Kardashian is far younger than me. Also, there are like now AI startups and whatsoever. They got billionaires like super quick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very far from being a billionaire. Mm-hmm. So for me personally, it depends on which level you are stuck.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing in Earth, what we don't know is what we actually don't know.
Don't know. Yeah,
so for me personally, it's more like I feel super, super, super small compared to the people who like achieved like massive things.
Yeah.
So for me personally, if you ask me if I'm stuck, I guess yes. Otherwise, I would have built something which is so big, which is so enormous that I would say, hey, maybe not. And I guess these guys have the same vision. So if you think you made it, maybe then you already are the problem of what you're doing at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, that is very interesting that you are, underrate yourself so much in terms of, you see yourself in a situation where you are not the biggest in the room and you want to learn from others. This is something that is only speaking for a great entrepreneur mindset. But my question that I have, do you ever feel like that you could not scale because your mindset has not approved actually of what you wanted to scale on the paper? Is there a discrepancy between your mindset and the scaling on paper or on the plan? And how do you bring this in the balance?
Very good question. I guess entrepreneurship at all, like personal development, entrepreneurship for me, same. It's like climbing a stair.
Mm-hmm.
Most people think it goes like this, right?
Yeah.
Or other people tell you it goes up and then it goes down. For me, nothing of that makes sense. For me, it's like a jump on a stair and mm-hmm. then you hit a plateau because you have to solve many things.
Mm-hmm.
And I read an amazing book. It said, your company will never outgrow you as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you have to grow as a leader.
Exactly.
So then your company can grow again. So at the first time, for example, like the first hurdle you have to knock down is, can I find enough customers?
Mm-hmm.
This one is like the very first step to take. Most entrepreneurs fail at that stage. How should you scale something that hasn't enough customers?
Mm-hmm.
Number one. Second is whatever. You build the functioning system. You get to 20, 30, 50 employees like we have right now. Then the next step is, I guess, for me personally, where I don't know if it's stuck. For me, like, it's a process.
Mm-hmm.
If you think of yourself, I can climb this stair in 2 years, I guess you will fail like super hard. You see it with everybody who does it too fast. So for me at the moment, it's like building a great leadership team.
Mm-hmm.
I can lead 12 people myself, which are directly reporting to me.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously with 12 people directly reporting to you, you will have a problem. Maybe later than earlier if you're like super pumped, healthy and working like 90 or 100 hours per week. But you have to put that leadership team in place.
Yes.
So that's a whole different skill to learn.
Yeah.
Different people to lead. And the only question to yourself is like, can you think big enough of hiring the right people?
Mm-hmm.
And at the second stage, are you patient enough
to find them?
To find them and give them the time to adjust to your company, to you as a leader, because it doesn't matter. You can find like the best people on earth, put them on one table. If you just give them 5 minutes to do a task together, I guess they will fail much harder than people who are like only 10% as good as them, but they have 3 days to communicate, make a strategy, and then go out.
Then go out, yeah, yeah.
So I think sometimes patience makes it all go faster than the other way around.
Than the other way to push, yeah, that's true. But yeah, I have a lot of people in my network or also in my clientele that are actually not able to think that I could achieve this. And that's when they are failing to scale. And I think you're doing this so wonderful because you think, and in your way of working is to see the next step that you need to do, and you believe in yourself that you can do it. And that is something that is a skill that you need to have to scale, to actually believe in what you want to achieve. It's achievable. And even if you don't know on every step how to do it, you just know that you're doing it and that some of the answers are coming along your way. Is that right? So is there anything that you can actually suggest to the people that listen that maybe find themselves into a situation where they believe it's still somehow impossible? You know, they have this on paper, but they fuck up in their own mind and they're just not able to think it totally 100% true, you know? And so what would you do if you would be in that situation?
I guess the rules are never changing. Not in 1800s, not in the 2000s, and also not in the future with AI. Mm. I personally don't see that.
Mm.
The rules of success are very simple. You will be the person that you surround yourself with.
Mm.
Jim Rohn said that like long ago. Mm. Napoleon Hill wrote that like long ago. I'm not reinventing the wheel here.
Yeah.
Brian Tracy said that like long ago. Whoever you spend time with, this is who you will be.
Yes.
So if you still, and the Brian Tracy has like wonderful videos. He says like everything what you do counts. Not what you want counts. Everything counts. So if you wake up at 6 and you have, for example, today you sent me to this network event.
Yeah.
Amazing. I was sitting at the table, an AI entrepreneur on my right side, someone who deals with Forex on the right side. It was 7 a.m. till 8:30. On 9 a.m. I was already in DIFC spending time with amazing people. And you will be the same as them. If you spend all your weekends with people drinking a lot of alcohol and being very frustrated in life,
yeah,
3 years down the line, you will be in their shoes.
Mm.
If you only spend time with amazing, successful people, doesn't matter if they build like a good relationship or they love themselves or they love their family or they love their doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You will become just like them.
Mm.
So for me, it's same, same, same. If you don't have the people at the moment, yes, go out and find them. But what helped me personally the most is read whatever there is from inspiring people, because that's basically like you're sitting with them, but they are only talking to you.
Yes.
Like you have a nice bathtub, you put some salt, you sit in there, you open your book, and Napoleon Hill is speaking to you like 1 hour straight.
Yes.
You can read Dale Carnegie, you can read from people that are so much more wealthy than you, and maybe you will not, I don't know, I guess I will never hit the level that Dale Carnegie has. So whenever I'm reading from Dale Carnegie or from Napoleon Hill, I'm going more
getting a step
into his direction. So that's for me something very underestimated, especially nowadays where people say like, I can do this in AI, I can do Google that, I can Google that. You cannot program your mind yourself.
Mm.
I don't like you can manifest, you can do yoga, you can do meditation, whatever it is. But the best meditation for me is just reading a book.
Yeah.
From somebody who already did it.
Yeah,
Amazing.
Very good. Yeah. I remember your big library in Germany.
it's massive.
Yeah. You had a lot of books there. I don't know if you took some of them, but you
put
it.
No, now I bought an iPad.
Yeah, but this is something that I also have. I see a lot of misconceptions in this where entrepreneurs thinking they wanted to be like XYZ, but they do not have the environment and they also don't choose. And for me, is if you don't want to change something, you choose actually the situation. Yep. And therefore, it's a big conscious decision to make for you to be actually already in the mindset of somebody who did it. And reading books is something also I very adore. And I think AI cannot put this together. There might be some helps with, you know, audio books and stuff like that. And certainly everybody has different ways of digesting all of this knowledge from these great people. But I think also when you read, you be in such a conscious situation that you detach yourself. It does something on a different level with your brain. Yeah. 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 You said that the situation around a company is the first step of finding enough buyers for your products. And now, in your case, buyers for real estates, people that trust you to save their money from maybe an rotten economic situation throughout Europe. So this one you tackled already and you are in middle of it. Now you wanted to take along a lot of other people who are in your team who tackle it with you, you said. Now, when you scale is basically one aspect that you scale also your team. Of course, you can only scale so far, and nowadays even with this XYZ AI agent, but you still need to have manpower. And I find it so beautiful when you say and have this approach that you want to have people in your company that also are happy and not being leaded with fear or with sort of pressure. How you think it is possible to get this actually done in this diverse market here? What is the biggest hassle that you have actually to find the tone of voice towards your team and within your team? What is the secret that you are having? I bet a lot of people are going to be interested in that because a lot of people are actually trying to tackle this this situation, isn't it?
I don't think I mastered it. It's like the challenge of your life. There's an amazing book from Dan Sullivan, which is called Don't Ask How, Ask Who.
Mm-hmm.
This book is more for people who already stepped outside of the box that they think like, I have to put all the structures in place, I have to put the processes in place and so on, but who already have like the basic skill set, the basic mind, can do this, the staff themselves can build a process, know like how is the company actually working. From that point on to like the moon, I guess, the only thing that you have to think about is who can do this instead of like, how are we doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you hire people who already done that in the past, everything solves itself basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're now 55 people, right?
Mm-hmm.
We employed them all in the last 1.5, 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine which problems are in a company like ours.
Mm-hmm.
When you have like 55 people there, we hired like 80. Obviously, you will lose some of them. So then you have to get HR in place.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yes.
make a decision. Number one is you do HR yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You write every process. You make everything you have. You put an admin who is like applying for visas, canceling, blah, 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 blah. Or you search for somebody who already did it.
Mm-hmm.
So we took a lot of money, a lot of time, found somebody who did it for a company with 300 people, put him in. He puts the systems in place. He puts the, like, I'm sitting here talking about the world with you. He puts the processes at the moment. He is coordinating his admin to hand out keys, to register time, to deal with sick leave, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not involved anymore.
Yeah.
But this takes a lot of trust, brain strength, and even trust in yourself.
Mm.
And I would say I have to master that every day. So I feel very grateful in the shoes I am. But at the same time, there's a lot of way to grow. There's a lot of space to grow.
Yeah. I think this is also the beauty in being an entrepreneur, that you see on where you can grow and where you can expand and the possibilities to explore that. It's just such a wonderful journey. I feel that. If you have now so many people, what you do to make them happy? If you're talking about happy employees, what are you doing for your employee happiness?
lots of stuff.
Yeah.
Also, our HR is doing lots of stuff. I guess the biggest thing that somebody can see if he or she want to work with somebody or for somebody mm-hmm. is, what is the vision of this man or woman? And is he or she living what he is teaching or telling me?
Mm.
So with me, I guess people can see that I'm like in the office 80 to sometimes 90 hours per week, and I'm working. Whenever they need me, I am there. Mm-hmm. So my people are there when I need them. Whatever I do with like a 100% mindset where we want to go. I have like North Star principles for all of my departments I'm leading
mm-hmm.
and also for my leaders, so that they can do decisions. Mm. I guess employee retention is, you can talk three days about it, but the biggest one for me is give people responsibilities and give them rights, give them power
mm-hmm.
as much as possible. In another amazing book I read, there's two ways of solving it.
Mm-hmm.
Number one is you think that all people are evil.
Mm-hmm.
And they will be evil and they will mistreat you.
Yes.
The second option that you definitely have in life is you think of all the people, they are very, really good and they want to make it work for you and for them. And they are super loyal, they're super honest, and they're doing only the best. Will they be evil to you sometimes? Yes. Will you be betrayed? Yes. But will you put that amazing mindset into the people and everybody lives up to the same, like, what do you call it in English? Auto-suggestion, manifesting of life,
mm-hmm.
thinking of what will happen, Murphy's Law, there are 1,000 words for it. Same thing. I think it in my subconscious mind. My active mind will go out and look for it as much as possible. So I think biggest one, employee retention, apart from the fruit bowl and all the apples and bananas and whatever you have to give them responsibilities, give them power.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful, because I have also some entrepreneurs in my programs where they say, I always count from the worstest point that could happen. And I find this in my content so much harmonized, actually, because I am finding myself always, and I teach this also to people, that the power of frequency has so much in place for you. So if you are a leader who is actually leading with such a high frequency, it certainly has actually the result very fast that those doesn't have or operate on this frequency are completely sweated out and they step away by themselves. So you can count on that. But in the other way around, also, as you said, self-fulfilling prophecy. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah,
it is something that that will happen certainly when you count on the worst that could happen with somebody. I always believe in the good. And yes, there is places and times when you get betrayed or disappointed. It doesn't even have to be betrayed, but disappointed. And still, you have to make and then a decision of going on and going on your own path. I think it's always a situation where you have people who are going for a while long with you, and then it just is not on the same frequency anymore. And this is their right. I always compare this with some rackets where they go higher, and as higher the altitude is and the higher you fly, these little supporting rackets off coming off, and that's how it is with people that you have around with yourself. But if you are clear in your mission, you can lead with this clarity, and I think clarity is something in leadership which is most powerful, I believe. So you said something about providing the apples and bananas for your team, but you're also providing, I know this, a clear structure with processes. And you have something in place that I see rarely in companies, and especially not in real estate companies. So I'm very actually astonished about what you have put it in place, something very beautiful around automations. And how you think is, how important is this whole system, not for scaling? It is important for scaling, everybody cannot deny it, but how important is this, having the structure, the infrastructure in place for attracting the right persons towards your company? Is this something that people will be overwhelmed of, oh my God, how can I achieve this? How can I cope with this? Or, wow, I wanted to work here because they really know what they're doing. how many people you meet when you get applications around your target people that you wanted to apply?
I guess super simple. You attract what you are. Mm-hmm. So there are amazing leaders and amazing businessmen who are leading their companies totally different than me, I guess. Mm-hmm. I'm like the spreadsheets freak. I like filling out a form for everything. I like to have crystal clear structures for everything. Mm-hmm. For us, we are using Notion as like a knowledge base. Mm-hmm. And I implemented the rule. If it's not in Notion, because you can search with mm-hmm. Notion AI, everything what's there, right? Mm-hmm. If it's not popping up there, the rule just simply isn't existing. Mm-hmm. Because that's the way I personally thought of that. I had a really good mentor in Monaco when I was like 20. Mm-hmm. And he always told me, if you want to build something big, you have to build something simple. Mm-hmm. And I'm always like, if it's not written down, doesn't matter how sharp the people are in your company. Mm-hmm. If it gets too many, nobody will remember. Like, I don't remember what I said 4 weeks ago, right? Mm-hmm. That's why when you do a contract and you sell or buy real estate, you do it on written paper, right? Mm-hmm. The sheik would never say, hey, my vision is this, and I tell it and tell it. No, there are papers for it. They give you a PDF. They give you a handout. If the government does something, it will be written in handout. If we do it very, 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 very small for our knowledge basis, and we are like, only what's written is there. Same as a contract, same as a lawyer. For me, that's the easiest way to make people feel like, hey, I'm fully understood. I know what I can count on. I know what I'm like, how I'm being dealt with, and mm-hmm. what I have to do in which order. Is this the right way? I don't know. Am I this way? Yes. Mm-hmm. Do I attract the people who are the same way in their personal head? Yes. Is this causing that sometimes like super creative people are dropping out of my company? Yes. Also, mm-hmm. am I fine with this? Yes, because at the same time, I'm getting people who are like super structured, doing 9 to 6, doing exactly this task, doing. You have to decide what makes you happy. For me, the worst thing ever would be going into my company. My company is whatever, super successful, produces millions and millions and millions of money. The people are all super happy. Everybody thinks like it's amazing. And I go into the company and have like tears in my eyes because I'm like, this is shit. I don't want to work here. Mm. For me, it's more like money will come. Mm. I have to be super happy in this company. I work the most hours. At the end of the day, I have to put the signatures with my three amazing shareholders and co-founders. We have to put our signatures and we are in charge if anything happens. So if I'm not happy, how can somebody other be happy in my company? So for me, when it's written, it's there. If it's not written, get out of my way. It was never there. Nobody agreed to it.
Yeah. This clarity is really something very wonderful. Attracts a lot of people that has the same handwriting like you. And that's how I understand also, not only clarity, but reliability comes with the clarity. And that's what attracts you basically also on the check. He's a big role model for you, I believe.
Yeah, if
I
can absolutely.
I compare admire him. Yeah, because I think also, even a lot of people are asking me, how is this with Dubai? And is this bubble sometimes? No. You know, going down the road on one stage. And I always compared, listen, this is just like you and I are meeting at the gym. Are we making an agreement that we 7 o'clock meet at the gym for 10 days? And I'm not showing up the first day. I'm not showing up the second or the third, the fourth day and so on. What do you think on that? I'm not going to achieve my goals and I'm not going to be reliable. I am not the person who you can count on. Is that right? And that's what I always compare to Sheikh and the ruler that we have here. He is saying something and he's bloody hell doing it, isn't it? It is something what he's just always keeps a count on and we can count on. If there was a flood, he's been counted on that he says he will help and then there's help. If he's want to build a bridge 3 months later, not even is another bridge there, isn't it? So I think it is just... it is astonishing for me to see how accountable and with what a great clarity he is actually operating. And it's so fantastic to see that you're adopting something like that in your own company. Yeah, no, I feel like I can say our audience, actually, Jim is really underestimating himself. I mean, underrating and undercalling himself. I think he's really a great entrepreneur. And of course, we always want to achieve something else, but thank you for actually letting us having a glimpse into your company. And tell us a little bit about InvestMentor. You're doing real estate, but you're doing it different. What is setting you apart from other real estate companies? And how are you scaling this? I know you have some sort of special referral program, if I can a little bit dive into it. It's up to you if you want to talk about this, but I think this is a big part in scaling. I find none of these real estate persons who have it so in place like you.
Yeah, well, we are like 30,000 agents now in Dubai.
Yeah,
that's tons for 4 million people living here, right? Yeah. On every corner, everywhere in Dubai, you can find an agent here, agent here, agent here. You open your phone, you click one time on Dubai Real Estate, you will get like 200 ads, correct? People are doing like humongous things to get new clients, whatever. We basically started as investors ourselves. Mm-hmm. So the way is a bit different. Normally I start as an agent, become an investor.
Mm-hmm.
We started with my dad as investors and become agents because people ask us, what are you buying? How are you buying it?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is. As of now, we're in September 2025. We're only dealing exclusively with German-speaking people.
Mm-hmm.
So it means Germany, Austria, Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
We have a tax consulting agency which only deals with people from German, Austria, Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
So we are like super specialized in exactly one thing. We can do exactly one thing. We are not the right ones for you to buy a property for 800,000 dirhams. We are certainly not. We're also not the right ones to buy a penthouse with us for 20 million.
Mm-hmm.
Like euros, like 80 million dirhams.
Mm-hmm.
We are like for the normal entrepreneur who is anywhere between 2 million euros and 300, 400, 500 million euros. Like my dad and me, we deal obviously with the bigger ones. So we are extremely in a niche, what we are doing. And there we can provide amazing value because we know what you are doing, why you are doing it, in which shoes you are in. I can feel your pain because we had the same as family.
Mm.
I can feel what you want because we had the same. I can feel whatever you want because I have the same guy in front of me 8 times a day, 10 times a day, 12 times a day, whatever it is. My tax consultant is solving again and again and again and again for the exact same type of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like what you are doing, for example, for dentists at the beginning, like super specialized.
Yes.
You have the same and the same and the same. So every little hiccup, every whatever it is, amazing. It's the same if somebody says, I'm specialized on cars.
Mm-hmm.
Nice, bro. Or somebody is like, I am only specialized in Lamborghini sports cars.
Mm-hmm.
And I also don't deal with Urus or whatever. I deal only with the models with 2 seats, more than 500 horsepower.
Mm-hmm.
He knows everything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the future, it will be even heavier for all companies out there to start with like a super, super, super small problem, like Bezos selling books.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Be exceptionally good in it, and then you can scale with whatever comes because you have that foundation. Yeah, this is what we do.
That's very good. But you have also actually the possibility that you take a lot of people along your side that maybe are not even able yet to invest out of whatever reason. Or you take them along your side, not even being necessary your agent, right? You have a referral program, and that comes from your strong background in entrepreneurship, in sales, what you have, Brod. Yeah. And that is something so unique. And I find it so astonishing that you bring this so together. You want to give us a little glimpse, or is that top secret?
No. We love tech, obviously. Yeah. Like, our whole company runs on tech. Yeah. And software and whatever there is. And we obviously, like, we admire referrals. I once in a time wrote a book. Wow, this is 6 years, no, even longer ago. We sold like 30,000 times. In German, it will be called Power of Referrals. Mm-hmm. And it's just about, like, why are referrals better than every other source of leads? Mm-hmm. Like, yes, we're paying tons to Meta, to Facebook, to publish our ads. We're doing YouTube, we're doing podcasts, we're doing whatever it is. But for me personally, what AI can never do, what computers can never do, what nothing matters. Mm-hmm. For me, like, in the really big game, other than people to people. That's mm-hmm. why we have like referral programs, and our, we have the biggest German speaking investment congress. It's called in German. We have like the German Grant Cardone, the German Tony Robbins, the German, like the biggest names you call them. Mm-hmm. We have them out of Germany because mm-hmm. We're only dealing with Germans. Mm-hmm. If you refer the program, you can earn like 40,000 dirham trips to Dubai and Royal Atlantis and flights and whatever. You can win a Rolex and fancy stuff, but everything is just for the only reason, hey, did you like the value? Yes. Go and tell your friends. Mm-hmm. If I tell you to invite your friends and I got you with the message of, hey, why should I invest? Why should I save taxes? Why should I diversify my portfolio internationally? Mm-hmm. I know your friends will be the same. Mm-hmm. Whether you know them from the Porsche Club, from the golf club, from the yachting trip you did, whatever it is, your friends are normally exactly the same like you are. Mm. So if
then
I
we
give
come
you a reason,
back to the persons that you are surrounded
exactly.
with, yeah, is that right?
Same.
Very good. I think, yeah, to refer somebody from real estate to a client is nothing new, but you're doing it on another scale, and that's what I adore you, and that's why you're sitting here. Thank you for having so much insights for the audience and to give a little glimpse in a young entrepreneur mindset. Actually, would you have any advice for people who want to scale? And in our audience, out of your perspective, what is the most important thing to look for? And what is the most important thing to avoid?
Out of my glasses. I can only speak for myself. To avoid shitty people, negative people, people who are always, yes, but, yes, but, yes, but. The best people alive are not a good advisory for you if they all the time think of possibilities why it will not work. So whatever you do, like, this is the only advice I can give you to not do it. Don't do things that can kill you, and don't do things which involve millions of cash without a lawyer. Done. So whatever the Jeff Bezos said, there are two types of decisions. The one is you can revert easily, do them super quick.
Yeah.
The second is things that you cannot revert very quickly, do them very slow. But these are like 5% of our decisions, right? And what you should do, read books, surround yourself with the right people, work hard as hell. What should I give as advice? If you are doing what really makes you happy and you have this inner drive, you will attract things. I guess most of the people are getting into entrepreneurship because they say, hey, I can live my life very freely. Wrong. Mm. Hey, I can earn a lot of money. Yes, correct. But after 3, 5, 10 years, I believe nowadays far too many people are entrepreneurs or are solopreneurs. Mm-hmm. than there should be. Mm. I think most of the people have a far better career if they work for someone else, go into management and get led by somebody. Because most of the people are not on earth for me personally to be the only leader there, but to follow someone.
Yeah.
And for me, it's same. I enjoy it tons if somebody leads me. Mm-hmm. That's why I do what I do, and I'm not the Sheik himself, because I get inspired by the Sheik. Mm. I think it's amazing if the Sheik leads me. I think it's amazing that we have developers here who are developing billions of real estate in Dubai. Mm-hmm. So I can be like, yes, I'm running with you. So, and everybody thinks like, Jim is amazing. Jim is just riding on the back of giants.
Mm.
And this is what you should do. Same for me. If you are at the moment very small, maybe it's not the right thing to say, hey, I have a company now, I don't know what to do. Maybe first of all, work for somebody who is really good, get amazing mentors, and then have like your own whatever. Like, I have a personal trainer. Mm-hmm. I go to the gym since... Oh, I'm really old now. Since 14 years, I started when I was 15, right?
Yeah.
I still have a personal trainer because I think I'm not the master of this game.
Mm-hmm.
He is 191 big, 115 kilograms. He's like a machine, right? And I'm like, I'm so happy that I can learn from you, sir, because it makes myself go 10 times faster.
Mm.
So even if you are an entrepreneur, get somebody who is like 10 times more advanced. I have mentors. They are like really rich, they are really good entrepreneurs, and they tell me something and I think, fuck you, how should I do that, how can I do that?
Uh-huh.
My brain is like basically crushing, but I know he's 10 times ahead of me, let's do whatever he or she tells me, and your life gets easier.
Exactly.
Don't think yourself is the best ever lived.
Yeah.
I think there are better people than we are.
Certainly. Yeah. Outside. You sometimes you have to get actually somebody involved for your reflection and to get help. We can't see our own shadows or by ourselves.
Never.
So that's something very good. Thank you for being here, Jim. And thank you
for the invitation.
For getting so much insight on a really wealth scaler. So I'm going to put all the information about Jim, the interesting investment congress in the show notes, in the info box, and you can get in contact. Where we else find you?
Me?
Yeah.
In the World Wide Web. Instagram is Jim_mentor. And investmenter, if you Google me, you will find me.
Okay, good. Good to have you here. And thank you for this episode.
Thank you.
Okay.